What's up, family? Jared the Boss Man here. You're tuned into the Boss Man Show on AM 1010, AM 1430, 1055 The King. Check The King out at 105theking.com and The Boss Man Show at bossmanshow.com. Hit me up on Instagram, The Boss Man Show, Twitter at Boss Man Show, and Facebook, Boss Man Show. It's The Boss Man on your radio.
Listen to The Boss Man Show with your host, JR, Saturdays at 9 a.m. right here on AM 1010, The King.
BS3 Network, changing the way you watch TV.
Yes, BS3 Network, changing the way you watch TV, covering content and hot topics from A to Z, sports, music, society and culture, movie reviews, you name it, we have it. Check it out on bs3network.com or check us out on Roku, BS3 TV on Roku, as well as check out your favorite podcast on all podcast platforms or spreaker.com/BS3Network.
You are now tuned to BS3 Network.
Show episode 48, special guest, our first two-time guest, a good friend of the show, a great guy, Howard Bison, HBCU man himself, the legend, D-Land, on the Boss Man Show, now with the Bowtie Sports Guy, D-Land. What's up, brother? Let's see you again.
Hey, Boss Man, doing pretty good. Thanks for having me back on the show today. Looking forward to this.
Yes, I wanted to ask you, man, now you're doing the independent media thing, man, as the Bowtie Sports Guy, new website. So talk to us about that transition from going from a corporate media and AJC to now doing your own thing with your own team now.
Well, yeah, kind of, you know, the business was what it is. And at some point, you know, you might have to be on your own. So I kind of been building my network, social media. You know, even when I was at the paper, you know, D-Led TV, D-Led Productions, anything that was not a direct conflict and covering the beat. So when, you know, I took the buyout from the AJC, I kind of had platforms already out there. I just need to consolidate them, rebrand them. And, you know, the hardest part is finding IT people to listen to you. And my guy, I sent him the newsletter on Tuesday. And, you know, I want to see it before it goes out. And, you know, I was like, this morning I hadn't seen the newsletter and it's supposed to be out by 10 o'clock. So I'm texting him in the morning like, hey, where's the newsletter? You know, so you're working with people now and you can't do everything. You got to rely on them to, you know, and they got to understand, hey, you're in the media. It's a flow. You know, if you're telling people they got a newsletter coming at 10 o'clock, it need to be there at 10 o'clock, you know. And if you got a podcast that's coming out at 7 a.m. on Wednesday, it need to be out there. So, you know, just getting you know, they've been in the business world, they haven't been in the media world, but getting everybody timed up and getting the rhythm going has been, you know, fun over the off season. Because, you know, once the season gets here, they report to practice tomorrow. Practice starts on Wednesday. You know, it's a rhythm to it, and you got to hit it. If you want people to come to your site, you got to, you know, when you tell them stuff's going to be there, it's got to be there.
And D-Led, man, I love the name, Bowtie Sports. Talk, I know it has a meaning. Talk to the people about that name, why you chose that name for your media platform.
Yeah, we did some research, and, you know, everybody knows me, and they call me D-Led, right? But if you put in D-Led on the internet, it's going to come up like lights. LED lighting. So I couldn't go DLED.com or DLED Productions, which is what my former company was. And what kept coming back when they put in all the background research was, hey, this is the guy who wears a bow tie all the time on the games. So Bow Tie Sports Guy came up, and that's what the marketing people came to me with. And I was like, yeah, my mother went for it. She's like, oh, yeah, you can sell bow ties and hats on your website. So I was like, okay, let's go with it, Bow Tie Sports Guy. And we started branding everything that way. But we let people know that, hey, you know, we are covering the Atlanta Falcons and the NFL. We're not doing the Hawks. We're not doing, you know, the Dream. It's the Atlanta Falcons coverage you were getting for the last 22 years at the AJC. We're just moving it over here to bowtiesports.com.
No doubt. And I have to ask you, how many bow ties do you own?
Yeah, it's been quite a collection. I got, like, racks. I got two hangers in the closet, and then I got boxes with my favorite ones that I have on the ready at the in the dresser there. So we might be auctioning them away. I don't need that many bow ties nowadays. But that's one of the things that, you know, it's an opportunity to either donate them to Goodwill or maybe sell them, put them on the merch site.
I think we should get Coach Gale on the sidelines with a bow tie on going 40.
I'm not going to look as good as Mr. Ledbetter. So, no, sir. I'm not going to look as good as he does. Hopefully, you know, I can, but he is an icon. I can't do that. I can't follow that.
Mm-hmm. Start a trend, Coach. Sideline
bow tie. I love the premise.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. And then let me ask you this, man. For those who want to subscribe to you, the pages you have on your Bow Tie Sports Guy website, tell them about what all they'll get for subscribing to you and buying your coverage.
Yeah, for subscribing to the coverage, you get the regular beat coverage of the Falcons. We go into the games, the game analysis, everything we had in the AJC, the blog, Cover 9 at 9 on Wednesdays. You know, the podcast will be there. That's also, it'll be free on YouTube and Spotify too. So the free things are the newsletter and the podcast. And then we want you to subscribe to the stories, the covers, the access that we have. You know, Kyle Pitts story that's up today. We've got the position by position series, which, you know, we did at the AJC all the time. We'll be at practice next week. And the inside access to the people we have across the country that'll be coming into the Bowtie Podcast to, you know, help us get ready for the games. Our focus is going to be on football. Our focus is going to be on how the Falcons are going to be able to play that week or what they did the last week. We're not, you know, getting into, you know, the tangential things. We're going to keep it right on the football field. Can this 53-man team go out this Sunday and win the game or not? And then, we'll tell you what exactly happened in the game, too, and we'll have experts to come in and break that down for you.
And you just made a hire. My buddy's now back with you. I forget how I say his name, but he's back with you. And Sideline Mike on the podcast. Let's talk about that, too, D-Led, as well.
Yeah, Sideline Mike's from Atlanta, Douglas High. Nobias Wilborn's also from Atlanta. I want to get some Atlanta flavor here because people always say, well, you hate the Falcons, you don't like Atlanta. I was like, no, I love Atlanta. I'm just telling y'all how it went down on the field. So, Nubias, he's been around the country. He's an Alabama Sports Writer of the Year in 2022. Sideline Mike's a longtime radio caller here in Atlanta area. Big Chuck Smith gave him his nickname because of Sideline Mike. And so, we had Big Chuck Smith in the studio yesterday to shoot a show for us that we're going to try to pilot and try to sell to sponsors and so forth. So that's the crew. We're rolling with it. Nubias knows what he's doing. He's covered the Titans. He's been in Pittsburgh. He's covered Penn State. So he adds another voice to the website. So it's not just me that the people are getting all the time.
So, D-Led, I know you also have the HBCU Legacy Athletes .com, which I know is a big thing. Talk about that and let the people know what you're doing with that as well.
Yeah, as a Bill Nunn Award winner, I felt that was my way to help give back to the HBCUs and the athletes that are currently playing there. It's a fan site. My buddy Larry Hamilton, former defensive end at Howard, he's in Houston. He played for Coach Floyd Keefe and Coach Steve Wilson's on our board. And so what we do is try to keep track of the best players in the HBCU schools and promote them. Because, you know, we've seen the numbers in the draft last couple years. And so we want to show the NFL teams that, hey, there's some talent here that you all might have been missing on, like Bill Nunn used to be able to get for the Steelers back in the day. So I've been a joy working with Larry and the HBCU Lexiville Athletes website. And that's growing. We're gathering up the pictures and the headshots now for the players who just got named to the All-SWAC, MEAC, CIAA, and SIAC teams. And then, you know, we still count Tennessee State and NCANT and Hampton, even though, you know, they've gone on different paths. And even Langston, we try to keep track of some of our NAIA HBCUs also.
And D-Led, you got named to the Howard University Hall of Fame. How cool is that for you to get that honor, man?
That's very cool because, I was named as the Buffalo Soldier recipient, somebody that supported and promoted the athletic programs over the years. I was the public address announcer for the football team for 4 years. And, I was the editor-in-chief for the Hilltop, so the student newspaper, and I worked for sports information during that time. So I stayed connected to the athletic department over the years and helped some of the other journalists get involved in, their careers. Steve Weiss, Jim Trotter, God rest Therese Paler. So Gus Johnson had my job as the announcer. He's parlayed it into big time stuff at Fox. So, when they called me to say they wanted to recognize me as one of the Buffalo Soldier recipients, I was ecstatic about it. I got in the Hall of Fame first before I got in the Howard Hall of Fame, but so they kind of had to put me in, but it was still cool to get that recognition from the university.
So D-Led, with you, congrats, again, that's an amazing honor. We want to give you your flowers now, man. You've had such an illustrious career, and we thank you for just being, excellent in what you do. But talk about just kind of what you see, given a mentorship and giving advice to young people that want to do what you do. I don't think you, when you started out, knew where it would take you, but I think you knew just continue to work hard and continue to, build your craft. If I'm a young person that just graduated and I want to be you or do what you're doing, what advice would you give?
Yeah, just consistency and execution. Yeah, you might write a good story one day, but can you come back and do it again? You might show up on the radio one day, but can you come back and deliver again? A lot of it's consistency and execution. And, that takes a lot of discipline and work. But the kids that do that, it shows that it pays off, even if it's not that job, even if it's not ESPN, if it's not, the big TV station in Nashville. You got to treat every day like it's the Super Bowl, because when the opportunities comes, you're going to be ready for it and so forth. So that's why I try to explain to the kids is that, hey, you got to be consistent. Yeah. And you got to be able to execute and do it over and over and over again. So you'll be ready when it's time to run that big race.
No doubt. Like, I'll tell you, D-Led, I remember when I had to turn on automation and push buttons on the studio. Now it's all digital. Now, it's like, when I got started, it was, hey, turn on automation. Telco gets the same thing. You get to push this button, take this button off to make sure you're on the air. Now it's just digitalized, so it's changed for me, but I've been in it 15 years. It's changed for me. Can I imagine for you, D-Led, been in along the way, well, than me, and how it's changed for you from when you guys started leaving Howard to now?
Yeah, we had typewriters. We used to write our stories on typewriters back in the day. Me and my buddy Barry Carter, he went on to work for the Newark Star-Ledger as a columnist I'd be sitting here, he'd be sitting there, and then we get done, we trade papers and fix them for each other, and then have to retype them again. Yeah, so yeah, the type, I just want, some days I was like, hey, I just want my typewriter back. Leave me alone and give me my typewriter back. But yeah, it's changed a lot. You know, back then you were siloed off. You were a print person or radio person or a TV person. And nowadays you have to be able to cross platforms and do all three of those. You know, you got to be able to write a story, go on a radio show, and then do a TV hit all in the same day. And you know, maybe some social media things too nowadays. So the more you can do, that's what I tell the kids now. Like, hey, the more you can do, the better, because you don't know which job you're going to get. You might get the social media job at the Hawks. So then you better be able to do that. You might get the radio internship. So, you know, that way you're versatile. And, you know, we've seen how volatile the business is now. So you always got to have a backup plan too. So, you know, that's kind of where I kind of saw that early on. That's why I went to law school at the University of Cincinnati, because I was like, hey, I got to, if this doesn't work out, I might have to switch lanes over here. So I always got to have a plan, but definitely want to be as versatile, you know, as you can.
Man, that's awesome. That's awesome. And I, you know, it's funny because it's not just young people. Some people that have been in the game, some people have been doing something for, like JR just said, for 10 to 15 years. And just to see how you seamlessly transition through the years, you seamlessly, it seems like you're always either ahead or right with the trend. What do you see? What are some of the specific things that you may see? I know you could talk about things in your career, but just talk about the mindset and the philosophy, because it's easy to say everything that you just said, but it's hard to execute.
Yeah, no doubt, Coach Gale. The landscape, I didn't see the TV shift. I mean, I'm in D.C., me and Mike Wilbon are all writing, but he knew to start getting ready for TV. Same thing with Steve Weiss. They would be working on pronunciating the names on the flip card. I'd be focusing on spelling them right because I didn't see the convergence coming on. And then as we move forward, you can see, you know, they're not newspapers. People are fighting for your subscriptions online and otherwise via independent and local media. And then just the fact that everything's digital and more visual. So, you know, you need to be able to capture good visuals and, you know, push them out digitally. And then, you know, just the truth. You got to be able to fact check and source check because there's so much stuff out there. And it's getting ready to get worse with AI. So it's like, hey, is this a real picture? This is an AI picture. And people are, you know, everybody's cookout flyers. You can see the AI pictures now. And you know, so there's not going to be a graphic artist job anymore. So, you know, people who drew and, you know, did artwork and stuff like that, it might be all computer generated now. So it's going to be very interesting. AI thing is scary to me, as I see at the end here. My career is that how do you blend the truth with what's going to be artificial intelligence? And they're putting a lot of money into it to, you know, run and do things, read contracts, do law cases and so forth. So it's going to be very, very hard for the folks moving forward to navigate in this field and others because of the artificial intelligence.
A two-part question for you, D-Led. This is something Coach Gil talks about all the time. It's about being your authentic self. And I've always seen your career all the years I've been following you. You've always been your authentic self. So talk about that, even when you were at a corporate paper, being who you are, being fully who you are in that space. And secondly, do you worry about with AI trying to mimic you and take your stories and act as you and not even be you? Is that something that worries you now as you move into the space with AI? Because, you know, people can just fake, maybe a deep faking it, not be you even doing it. So those two part questions for you, brother.
Yeah, it's tough because we saw that with a lot of the ESPN situation in the last couple of days where, you know, real stuff was happening. And then there was a lot of people putting out fake stuff. Talking about, you know, stuff that happened 10 years ago, you know, with Jamil and some stuff like that. And she hadn't been there 10 years. So how do you unless you're really plugged in and doing some fact checking, how did you know that that was accurate or not? That was truthful or not when everything else was going on with Charles Davis and Ryan Clark and those guys. So it's just going to be real hard to do that. But, you know, it could be done. We'll figure it out.
Yeah, it's a scary time, but at the same time, I love the challenge because of people like you, like JR said, that are still staying authentic, true to who you are, true to how, you know, God created you. He put you on earth. You inspired and mentored a lot of people. But my question is, and this is a fascinating conversation because somewhat, if I'm a young person or if I'm a parent of a young person, I'm going to be nervous because you said it more than once, man, AI, you know, I don't like where it's going. So how do you navigate and how do you survive what's happening? Because some things aren't going to change. Like you said, the truth is never going to change. People are always going to want authenticity. So how do you survive this next, I would say the next 5 to 10 years of, you better be careful because the Malcolm X used to say it, the media will turn a false narrative into a true narrative and turn a true narrative into a false narrative.
Yeah, no doubt, Coach Gale. And yeah, the authenticity is going to be key moving forward. And then we have to understand our history. I know I've had time over the break here to, I've been kind of just going back and looking at some of the presidents. They had a big thing on PBS, on LBJ, you know, did a lot of good with the Great Society. Not so much good with Vietnam, you know, everybody, you know, Ronald Reagan, the economy, some other issues. Now we think we look back at some of them people we thought we couldn't make it through and look like those were some pretty good situations. We have them in a minute right now. And then that's both Daddy Bush and Little Bush. So and then, you know, of course, we have the Obama administration just open up the presidential library. So and you see that authenticity on display with him and his wife. And you see the other side right now in 47. So, you know, people know what they like. They're going to vote with their, you know, hearts moving forward if they don't steal the elections. But, you know, the truthful, my daddy always told me, and I think this will remain true, artificial intelligence or not, the cream will always rise to the top. And so, you might get muddled in there a little bit, but at the end of the day, the cream is going to take over and rise to the top. And I always believed that, even when I was working in Greensboro, North Carolina. I didn't know where I was going to go, but I knew I was every day that I got to work in Greensboro, North Carolina, Newport News, Virginia. You know, I knew that wasn't going to be the end. And I just had to keep going and so forth. So, that's what I would encourage the kids. Keep going. You know, it's like an old basketball player. One of my favorite players was World Be Free because he kept shooting. He kept shooting. He never stopped all the way to the end. So they got to keep shooting. You know, no matter what's out there in front of them, keep, you know, keep running, whatever it is. Keep kicking if you're a soccer player. Just keep going till that ball gets in the goal for you. So it's going to be tough times all the way. And we made it through some of them. That's when we get to look back and say, like, okay, that wasn't that bad. You know, I knew how, you know, I know how it was with Reagan and the administration. We thought it was the end of the world. But now it looks like, okay, we made it through that storm. You know, let's keep going, make it through these next storms and so forth.
Indeed, it's just something very important because it's the momentum of memory. Like my dad always talked to me about the answers are, we already had to have that answers. Your ancestors already have done these things. Go back to the past. Yeah. The past leads you to the present. Right. So I look at older people like Coach Gale, yourself, who I look up to to help me in my journey and keep on going because you all have seen a lot of things and you all are here. And that's how I follow your coattails and we'll be okay. I'm trying to do that for young kids behind me as well. Show them my journey. I've had some fights. I'm still fighting some fights now, but I'm okay. I'm still here. I'm getting the job done.
Yeah, no doubt. They're going to have to fight. Yeah, and it certainly helps when they do know the history and the history that not only we and Coach Gale seen, but stuff that was passed down from our dads, from our uncles, from our cousins, you know, do's and don'ts and things that, you know, make things easier for you and how to operate and navigate through tough times. And so, you know, you doing that for others is the shoulders that, you know, they're going to stand on. Those are the shoulders we're standing on now. And so that's always going to be good, solid advice, you know, because everybody don't want to see them succeed. So, you know, you're going to have some headwinds you got to fight through. And that's going to always be, you know, you just got to keep your head to the sky and keep moving forward.
So, D-Led, I have a question because I know that on my show, I'm big with my faith, and I tell JR all the time, man, there's nothing that I can't navigate without reading the good word. How hard is it for someone that has a strong faith, that has been in corporate media, that's transitioning into independent media, that's trying to navigate this world that has a lot of, like you said, different information coming at them, some misinformation, some disinformation. What does faith have to do with anything, if anything, in today's, and I want to talk about the professional side. I know personal side is one thing, but just the professional side.
Yeah, the thing I keep coming back to is, you know, God's plan. You know, I got my plans. I'm going to have a plan, but that might not be his plan. You know, I thought for sure I would go right over to Morehouse. They had a sports program, and they would hire me because I taught at Georgia and Clark Atlanta. They picked somebody else. So I was like, fine. That was my plan. That wasn't God's plan. I don't know what his is. It'll reveal itself in time. But I'll keep on moving on, walking in faith, knowing that he's got a better plan for me. So it's a better plan than what I have for myself. So that's how I, you know, lean on my faith in this profession. Maybe it's, you know, maybe the website is going to blow up. Maybe we don't get enough subscribers, but we put quality work out there and, you know, maybe it doesn't work. I'm not going to be less faithful because it doesn't. He might want me to be doing something else. He might want me to write books right now. You know, I could do a book on the Michael Vick trial, the Falcons, rise and fall of the Falcons under Matt Ryan. You know, maybe that's it. But he'll let you know. You know, so you lean on your faith and go with his plan. You know, you need to have your plan too. But sometimes they don't go together. So, but whatever God's plan is, take that and use it and dutifully follow him and lean on your faith.
No doubt. And having that faith is very important because, you know, when you're independent, like I've been doing this independent thing since 2012, you know, it's a lot of hard days and nights, a lot of fights. Mm-hmm. You know, I have some fights with some people, D-Led. You know, I told you I probably, I'm fighting the good fight because, you know, when you don't have the corporate name behind you or the caller sometimes, it's tough for you. And I had to really fight and sell yourself. So talk about that for young people. Presenting themselves in the right way, because I've got credentials over the years just by presenting the right way, showing my work, showing what I've done, who I've talked to. Look about kids putting together a portfolio to go out and get credentials or get a job or get where they want to go to in this media business.
Yeah, I learned back in the day at Howard. I was we had a game at Cheney State, and one of my buddies wanted to go in the game with me. I was on the list. And so I kept my bag and gave him the camera, and we tried to talk our way in. And so they didn't let either one of us in. And when we got back to campus the next day, the sports information director, Lois Clemens, he went to work for the National League Baseball. He was a pretty big time PR guy. He said, "Hey, all you have is your name, and you just messed it up there trying to sneak in a game with your friends." So you have to protect your name, and that's your brand as an individual and how you operate and move in these spaces. And so, you know, from that point on, I wasn't trying to help nobody. Everybody want a free ticket or can you get me in and get? No, I can't get you. I'm a credential for me. I'm going in there to do my job and you could do, you know, that would be some advice I would give. It's your name. How you want to present yourself to the world is, you know, it's different nowadays. You know, stuff that we did was required of us. It's not required anymore. You know, we see people go to church with blue jeans on. You know, I'm never going to do that. I'm going to have on a suit and I'm having a bow tie when I go to church. Even on casual Sunday, I'm going to still have on a jacket. I might not have a tie. Even on African Day, I'm going to wear my African garb. But I'm not coming to church in some slides and jeans. So I don't know if that's how you want to present yourself. That's acceptable in these worlds now. Fine, but, you know, you got to navigate that. Because people, you know, want to make a good impression. And if that's how, you know, your people raised you, then, you know, that's maybe that's not – it's maybe it's okay that it's not as strict as it used to be, but I know how we did it. And, you know, I'm probably, if I'm hiring you and you show up in some blue jeans and a do-rag, I'm probably not going to hire you.
Well, I love what you just said, D-Led, because in a couple of episodes, I said, you know what, if you can't be on a team, create your own team. And by the way, I think Bowtie Sports is, I think God is going to bless that. You know, I was blown away with just the content, the professionalism, and I look forward to this upcoming season with you doing this. And I think the biggest thing is just, you know, what did the Bible start with? Creation. The fact that you created something, the fact that you left a legacy, you know, with your name, with your brand, with you be, you know, the biggest thing I wanted to do with this show is what you just did. So, you know, my final question for you is just your legacy. You've done so much. You've got so many accolades. But what do you want your legacy to be?
Yeah, that he helped some people. You know, it was a group of us at Howard together. Some of us were, you know, maybe not so nice to each other, thinking that, hey, I got to get this job because, you know, he's going to be competing for this job. One person even tried to graduate earlier so we wouldn't be looking for a job at the same time. I was like, hey, it's enough out there for everybody. And so, you know, I never had any problem with trying to help anybody, especially, you know, people of color with advice, a recommendation, you know, a call. Whatever we needed to do, and that they're going to say that, hey, D-Led, you know, he had a good career and he helped people.
Yes, indeed. Well, you definitely helped me, D-Led, all over the years. I thank you for your friendship and your mentorship, and I thank you for coming on the show with me and Coach Gale again. It was a big hit last time you came on the show, and I know Coach Gale loves it because you're a coach like he is.
Yeah,
no, I love everything about you, D-Led. I love everything about you, my man. You look good, by the way, man. God's been good to you.
Thank you, Coach Gale. Yes, he has. I got to get back to the gym here and get my water workout on because I missed it yesterday to film that show. And I want to stay on track. I got 3 water workouts a week for the last 22 weeks. So I got to keep that going. And I really appreciate your kind comments. And good luck to you and your future coaching endeavors. I'm on the sidelines now. But if the young coaches call, I'll try to help them out.
We appreciate you.
Yes, D-D. Thank you so much, brother. We'll see you soon, man.
All right. That'd be great. I'd love to see you, boss, man. You can tell me more stories about the bird lady and that trip you had over here.
Yes, indeed. 100%.
BS3 Network. Changing the way you watch TV.
Yes, BS3 Network. Changing the way you watch TV. Covering content and hot topics from A to Z. Sports, music, society and culture, movie reviews, you name it, we have it. Check it out on bs3network.com or check us out on Roku, BS3 TV on Roku, as well as check out your favorite podcast on all podcast platforms or spreaker.com/BS3Network.
You are now tuned to BS3 Network.
What's up, family? Jar the Boss Man here. You're tuned into the Boss Man Show on AM 1010, AM 1430, 1055 The King. Check The King out at 105theking.com and The Boss Man Show at BossManShow.com. Hit me up on Instagram, The Boss Man Show, Twitter at Boss Man Show, and Facebook, Boss Man Show. It's The Boss Man on your radio.
Listen to The Boss Man Show with your host, JR, Saturdays at 9 a.m. right here on AM 1010, The King.